We now move into that point of time, a time of reflection upon our scripture readings and time with God as we contemplate our hearts, minds, and souls in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Today we begin a series on 2 Corinthians, Paul's second letter to the church in Corinth that we have in the New Testament. This letter is probably the least known of Paul's letters because it is a bit more autobiographical of Paul's life than his other letters. He is the one in focus as he lays himself open and reveals to the church of himself and of his time and of his struggles. We call this 2 Corinthians, but it could perhaps be called 4 Corinthians because it is the last of four letters that Paul wrote to the church in Corinth. Two of these letters have been preserved for us, and two of these letters have been lost for us. A brief chronology of Paul's writing to the church in Corinth begins in 52 or 53 AD, when he established the church there. He was there for about a year and a half and then went to Ephesus. And while in Ephesus, he wrote to the Corinthians as referred to in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9. This letter is lost, that first letter to Corinth. And the 1 Corinthians, therefore, is actually the second letter of Corinthians in the chronology. The Corinthians responded to Paul's second letter, which is our 1 Corinthians, with many questions. We know the Corinthians did not respond well to his answers, so he made a quick trip to visit them. The visit did not go well, as Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians, or refers to how painful that visit was. And so he returns to Ephesus and sends a letter to Titus that is a bit more joyful and upbeat. However, Paul never receives any response to that third letter and eventually hasn't heard from Titus because Titus has been gone a long time, so he seeks him out. And eventually he finds Titus, and Titus responds to Paul and tells Paul how things have really gone and things are a bit more joyful in their communication. When he then responded, Paul did, based on this visit with Titus. And that's the letter that we have before us today. That's the study that we begin with, is Paul's relationship with Corinth, with the Christian community there. Please stand for the reading of Scripture. Our reading today comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, the church of God that is in Corinth, including all the saints throughout Achaia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all consolation, who consoles us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to console those who are in any affliction with the consolation with which we ourselves are consoled by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are abundant for us, so also our consolation is in abundance through Christ. If we are being afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation. If we are being consoled, it is for your consolation, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we are also suffering. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, we also share in our consolation. We do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, of the affliction we experienced in Asia, for we were so utterly, unbearably crushed that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death so that we would rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises from the dead. He who rescued us from so deadly a peril will continue to rescue us. On him we have set our hope that he will rescue us again, as you also join in helping us by your prayers, so that many will give thanks to on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let us pray. Gracious Lord God, we give you thanks and praise for this glorious day, for the opportunity to gather together in your name, whether it's in person with our own families or friends, or virtually as we are right now. We give you thanks and praise, for you are with us as you have promised. You are with us in body and spirit, and for that we give you thanks and praise. Lord, as we gather now, as we take time to reflect upon your word, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As we begin our study of 2 Corinthians, I ask you to join me in this study, in this journey over the next several weeks, by reading through Paul's letter to Corinth, that second letter of Corinthians in our Bibles, in a couple of different ways, or actually about three ways that I'm going to ask you to do this and want you to do this weekly, just to keep it fresh in our minds, to keep engaging with the text. What I'd like you to do is first, if you are able, and normally as we would read something, is just read the letter itself, however you're able to do that. Just read the letter itself, silently. Second, if you're able, read the letter out loud. See, as you listen to it, as you read it to yourself, do you hear something different? Or perhaps you have somebody else that you're reading it with, reads it for you. That's fine as well. And finally, where there's no real activity required on your part other than listening, is to find a recording of the text and just listen to the text. In doing the three different ways, hopefully you will hear something, read something, see something that'll step out and challenge you or illumine your mind or transform how you think about Paul and about the church in Corinth, or even more so about your life today. As you do those, ask yourself, what resonates with you? What resonates with you in Paul's writing to the church? The beginning of Paul's letter, I think, resonates with us as a community of faith in three areas today. The first area that resonates and stands out the most for me is the section beginning with verse 3. And yes, I'm starting in the middle of the text, the middle of the pericope, the middle of what we read today. I'm beginning at verse 3 because that's what strikes me first and foremost. Beginning at verse 3, we heard these words. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all consolation, who consoles us in all our afflictions so that we may be able to console those who are in any affliction with the consolation with which we ourselves are consoled by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are abundant for us, so also our consolation is abundant through Christ. If we are being afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation. If we are being consoled, it is for your consolation, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we also are suffering. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our consolation. Now, as I read this and it stood out to me, what my mind went back to last week, and the first thought I had is, I thought we were done with suffering. I mean, we finished Job last week. I thought we were done with having to deal with trials and tribulations of life and suffering, and we covered all of that in the book of Job. Well, lo and behold, we open up 2 Corinthians and we begin looking at the text, and how does Paul start? Paul starts, or we get to the middle part, we get to verse 3, he begins with afflictions and consolation. Afflictions and consolation is where we are, is what we are thinking about. And as I thought about what Paul was saying, I went back to Job, and I'm going, well, Job, what did you teach me from Job? What sticks in my mind from Job and Job's life? What sticks in my mind about Job is the one passage of confession of faith that he has. In the midst of all his trials and tribulations, in the midst of life itself, Job confesses, "I know that my Redeemer lives. I know that my Redeemer lives." And that brought him peace and tranquility to his life. So what brings peace and tranquility to your life? What brings comfort and consolation in the midst of life, of the hustle and bustle of the city, of the hustle and bustle of work, home, of life, wherever we are at? Now, I have to admit something, and I have to make a confession. And if you look at the bulletin cover, you're going to go, what in the world was Pastor Tim thinking when he picked a stuffed bunny rabbit next to a first aid kit? I mean, isn't that a little bit schmaltzy? Isn't that a little odd for a bulletin cover, for an order of worship photo? Well, I have to tell you, it came to my mind as I was looking about how we deal with afflictions and consolation and all that. As I was working on the text, we're doing some rearranging in the house, and some old photo albums popped up, and I began paging through them. And I was struck by the pictures of my three daughters and their stuffed friends, and how their stuffed friends brought them peace and tranquility and consolation during those difficult times in life, whether we were moving overseas or they're transitioning to beginning life in preschool or school or wherever they were at. It seemed to me that, yes, they had family with them, but they also had their stuffed friends to bring them comfort and peace at those ages. In fact, as I was reminded of this and going through this, if you visited us in our home and you went into our family room, you would find sitting on the couch a 3.5 foot tall stuffed rabbit. Now, there's a long story how we accumulated this stuffed rabbit and how Cindy got a hold of it, but we retained the rabbit in the house, and the rabbit actually has a t-shirt and shorts on, and was named by my daughters as Richard, and is known as Richard Rabbit, and named after my middle name. I'm reminded of that in afflictions and consolations. What does that have to do with a stuffed rabbit in the family room? Well, when I was traveling or deployed or whatever, the rabbit would take turns joining each of the girls in their bedrooms where they would sleep with him and snuggle him. Today, that comforting presence still sits on our couch, and he is used as a pillow many times by our family. As children, this tells me, they seek ways of comfort and consolation, and a lot of times it's found in a stuffed friend. Even as adults, we seek avenues of comfort and consolation for the afflictions we may face in life. We may cling to old ways, traditions, rites, rituals. We may cling to making sure that we read scripture, that we pray, that we have a regular rite and ritual that we call parents or other family members to not just check in on them, but they check in on us. Those things bring comfort and consolation to our lives. It could even be just as simple as just being in the presence of someone who loves us and cares for us. And that's what comes to my mind as I look at our scripture passage beginning in verse 3. For it is in verse 3 and through the rest of that piece that I read for you that we have two words that constantly keep popping up. The words are affliction and consolation, or consolation looked at as comfort. Repeatedly throughout our passage, those two are always together. There's a relationship between affliction and consolation. And it's not just here that issue is raised, but it is also used as support later on in 2 Corinthians for Paul's arguments. It pops up again in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 10, where Paul talks about the treasure in clay jars. Or chapter 4, verses 16, beginning at verse 16 through chapter 5, verse 10, where Paul talks about living by faith. And finally, in chapter 12, verses 7 through 10, where Paul talks about affliction and consolation in relation to God's grace. Those are areas that I ask that you read, and read them through the lens of our text this morning, and see what God is saying to you about affliction and consolation during our days. Specifically, when we look at affliction today, we can think of the pressures and stresses of living life in the world today. It is what many of us perhaps are feeling right now when we think about calling a new senior pastor, the cultural changes we're going through throughout the United States or even the world. How about living online? Do you ever think you'd be living online through worship services, through getting your news, through movies, television shows, whatever way, the use of that media or social media as a part of that? Even living through our current pandemic. It's stress and pressure is what we would call it. Is our afflictions. It's whatever ties you up in knots. Do you have something that ties you up in knots? That gets your stomach so tight that you seek relief of some sort? Many of us do that. That we get so tied up in knots that we can't sleep at night. That it just gnaws at our very being, in our mind. And it sometimes impacts our health and our welfare. I had one individual I worked with that was so tied up in knots and it gnawing at him that he developed ulcers and other things going on and was put on medication for it. Our afflictions today are the stresses and pressures of life. And where do we find consolation for those stresses and pressures of life? We might look back and say, well, the first century didn't have anything on us back then. But yeah, they did. They had different elements impacting their stress in life. It might be more where they could find food and shelter and housing and all those kinds of things. Where did they rest their lives? But they had things that gnawed at them, that tore them up, that tied them into knots. When we're tied into knots, how do we live with peace and comfort? Well, that's where Paul steps into consolation or comfort, as it were. We'd all like or need a friendly little cheer or word of encouragement in our lives. When we look here for the word of consolation and we look at the Greek and we start looking a little bit deeper into it, what you really hear and see is that the word is really talking about being strengthened. Paul experienced this through the strengthening of God to give him a peaceful, restful spirit to meet the pressure and stress of what he was living with in life. You heard about that when he talked about their experience in Asia and what was happening in Asia. But what Paul said was what he came around to there, or the people that he was with in Asia, was to rest in the cross of Christ, to turn it over to God, to return to the Lord, to be strengthened by what Christ has given us, what God has given us. Similar words are used also for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, to think about it, is always called the comforter, the consoler, or the strengthener. To call upon the Holy Spirit is to call upon strength in the midst of our difficulties, in the midst of our afflictions, and that's where we begin to find life. I'm always amazed how we get wrapped up into knots or tie ourselves into knots. And I'm just as guilty as anybody else. There are many times where I have restless nights and there's no need for that restless night with what's going on. It's in the midst of that restless night, if I take time and pause and pray and turn it back to God and over to God, that I'm able to fall back to sleep. that the Holy Spirit is given, and comfort and strength for the night is available, and I can rest. The second area that is tied to the first area of God's strengthening and comfort when we're under affliction comes from the beginning. We're going to go, or comes from the beginning of our text today, in this particular section, where we are reminded, as Paul says, that God is the Father of all mercies and the God of all comfort. That's why going back to God, turning back to God, turning it over to God, allowing the Holy Spirit to work in our lives to strengthen us, we are comforted. Paul sees in God's hands in the midst of his affliction, of his life. He never prays to have those afflictions removed throughout Corinthians. What he prays for is that in the midst of those afflictions, in the midst of those opportunities, now I don't know if you'd say an affliction's an opportunity, but in the midst of those afflictions, in the midst of that opportunity, Paul sees it as a way to return to God. In fact, that's how he begins his letter. Paul begins his letter to the Corinthians by saying, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God in Corinth, together with all his holy people, through Acacia, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is our final area as we look at these things. What do you hear Paul saying to the Corinthians, saying to you and I, as he begins his discussion, before he even moves into afflictions and consolation? What do we hear in these three statements, or in this statement? In Paul's opening, I hear three things taking place. First, Paul is an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. Paul did not choose to do what he was doing. In fact, if we go back to Acts and we look what happened with him on the road to Damascus, this is further from where Paul had ever been or what he was doing. He did a complete 180-degree turnaround, a complete repentance and returning to God. You'll notice here that the emphasis amongst everything here is that Paul says he's not a representative of the church in Corinth or Ephesus or whatever, but that he's a representative of God, that he is the Lord's apostle. And in so doing, he says that his authority does not come from the church or members of the church, but it begins first and foremost with God. So he identifies himself as an apostle of Christ Jesus by God's authority. He's a messenger, or an ambassador, as he talks about it later in 2 Corinthians, who has been sent to bring a message, to bring a representation of God to the world, not just to those in Corinth, but to all the world. To those that he calls in Corinth, they are to do the same thing, because he begins by addressing them as a church in Corinth, but he also, when he talks about Acacia, that's an ancient term for Greece. It's all of Greece. It's all of the world in which they know. And so that's how Paul comes to them, and he understands or tells them of who his understanding of who God has called him to be. Now, that's an interesting question, because that's a question that I raised for us last fall in our study of Acts, and it's one that I recently raised again as I challenged you to read through for 40 days the New Testament through the lens of the question of who is God calling us to be as individuals and as a community of faith? Who are we to be in the world? Paul answers this question, I believe, in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16, where our calling, our election by God, is that some of us are called to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, and many others that are listed there, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. That's who we have been called to be. As followers of Jesus Christ, we have been called to be people to help build up the body of Christ, to build up the community of faith. It's with that in mind that I am reminded, as things change within the church, part of that calling is, how is God calling you to use your gifts and your abilities here at FPCH? Where is God calling you to volunteer? The second part that sticks out to me here is, Paul writes, to the church of God in Corinth, together with all his holy people throughout Acacia. We already touched on this. It's all of Acacia, all of the world. It's not just our own little segment and within. We work within where we are at as a body of Christ, but then we reach beyond our doors, beyond our building, beyond our walls, as Paul calls them. We are to reach out into all the world. We're reminded of this in the ending of Matthew chapter 8, verses 19 through 20, where we hear, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. We have been called. We have been elected to go into the world, to bring the gospel, to bring this final and third area. Paul greets everybody in every letter that he writes. Part of his greeting is this: grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So as an ambassador, as an apostle of God, Paul offers grace and peace, and that's what we are called to do in a variety of ways. And that's one of the things we are working to sort out, or we always re-examine on a regular basis. Called to be God's representatives in the world, called to be God's apostles, teachers, pastors, prayers, prayer warriors, whatever language we want to use, whatever role we want to identify with, we are called to offer grace and peace, God's grace and peace. And this is the message, because it's God's grace and peace. It is God's comforting, God's consolation that is brought to us. We are called to do this. And if you go and read that, this is really talking about a ministry of reconciliation, to be reconciled to God first and then to one another, as Paul states in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 11 through 21. This is what God is calling us to do. We are called and are elected to bring that grace and peace, because as 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God is calling you. God is making his appeal through us on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. So as we take this into consideration, as we take in that we're given grace and peace, and that's the message, that the message of a reconciliation, of consolation in the midst of the afflictions of the world, what does that look like for us here at Hollywood Press? What comprises the ministry of reconciliation of God through Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit for us here at the corner of Carlos and Gower? As you think about that and reflect on that, there are four tasks as we think about God's continual grace and peace in our lives in the midst of all that we may face. There are three tasks that I'd like you to consider prayerfully. First, to examine your relationship for and foremost with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and to be reconciled to God. Second, examine your relationship with family, friends, with us as a community of faith, and outside our doors, to be reconciled to one another through the power of the Holy Spirit as we have been reconciled to God. Finally, the third area is the grace and peace that God gives us through Jesus Christ. Paul begins his letter that way. He begins all his letters that way. In some way, in the salutation, is grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul as an apostle, Paul as an ambassador, brings God's message of grace and peace. In fact, we could do a whole sermon just on bringing that message of grace and peace and study that is brought to the world through Christ Jesus. And that's what he brings to the community of Corinth, and that's what he brings to you and I, is God's grace and peace. God as comforter, God as consoler. We're reminded this because Jesus Christ calls us to be his representatives in the world today, his apostles, his ambassadors, which is talked about later on in 2 Corinthians. Even more so, as Christ's ambassadors, we are called to bring a gospel, a message rooted in Jesus Christ, a ministry of reconciliation, reconciliation to God, to one another in life. That is what God is calling us to do, what is God is calling us as his apostles, as his ambassadors in the world, is to bring that grace and peace. For it is in chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, verse 21, that we hear Paul saying, God is making his appeal through us on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. That's the message we bring to the world, a message of repentance and turning about. So for us here at Hollywood Press, for those of us as ambassadors of Jesus Christ here, what comprises the ministry of reconciliation of God through Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit at the corner of Carlos and Gower? As you reflect upon that, as you reflect upon God being our comforter, our strengthener through all our afflictions, I ask that you take up three tasks and consider these prayerfully. The first task is to examine your relationship with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and be reconciled to God. The second task is to be reconciled with one another, to examine your relationship as a community of faith, as families, as friends, as colleagues, as members of the world. And finally, to examine out of those what God is calling us to do. There's a variety of ministries that you can volunteer for. There's a variety of ministries that need assistance all the time. Many hands make light work as it is. This is God's ministry that you've been called to. You've been elected to this ministry. How is God calling you? Where is God calling you to use your gifts and talents and abilities in reaching out as in grace and peace as a ministry of reconciliation? What informs me as I think about that is, how do I love my neighbor? How do I love my friends? How do I love my enemies? So as we journey together through 2 Corinthians, as we rely on God's grace and peace, I implore you, I ask you to join with me in reading 2 Corinthians on a weekly basis. Whether you listen to it or read it, seek God in the midst of the text. Listen for God's comfort and God's strengthening ways in your life. And listen for God's grace and peace through Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit for you. To God be the glory, now and forever. Amen.